Welcome to Akacha Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akacha AI. Hello and welcome. Today we're diving into a truly foundational work of Latin American literature, Isabel Allende's The House of the Spirits.
It really is monumental, isn't it?
Yeah.
More than just a novel. Yeah. It's this sweeping family saga that had such a huge impact.
Exactly. And to really get a handle on its depth, you kind of need to understand Allende herself. Born in Peru, raised in Chile.
And crucially, the niece of Salvador Allende.
Right. The socialist president overthrown in that, well, devastating 1973 military coup. That political earthquake and her exile afterwards, it shaped everything for her.
She called it the crucible for her literary career, I believe.
She did. And what's amazing is how this huge book started. It began as a letter.
A letter to her dying grandfather, right?
Yes.
He's 99.
Yes. So this incredibly intimate act of remembering just blossomed into this epic narrative. It tells you right away that memory storytelling, it's about survival here, resistance.
And healing, ultimately.
Definitely. When La Casa de los Espíritus came out in 82, it was massive, an international breakthrough. People compared her to García Márquez, naturally.
But it stood on its own. That distinct feminist perspective, yeah. And the way she weaves in magical realism, it's masterful.
Absolutely. So our goal today is to really unpack this masterpiece for you, explore its story, its unforgettable characters, and the themes that still resonate so powerfully.
And it's quite a story to unpack, a multi-generational saga, like you said, spanning almost a century.
Set in an unnamed Latin American country.
Which is, let's be honest, clearly Chile. A vivid allegory.
No question. And at the heart of it, these two contrasting figures. Esteban Trouba, the patriarch. Volatile, often tyrannical.
And then Claire Del Valle, his wife. Ethereal, clairvoyant. She's really the spiritual anchor, wouldn't you say?
That's completely, the emotional core. The story follows Esteban's, well, relentless climb from poverty to this wealthy, powerful conservative figure.
And his life becomes completely tangled up with Clara's. And through them, the nation's fate unfolds.
And then their children, their granddaughter, their personal lives just perfectly mirror the huge political shifts happening around them.
It makes their struggles feel so immediate, like a microcosm of the whole country's turmoil.
That link, the personal and the political, that's where Linda is just brilliant. The conflicts play out on these two levels, don't they?
Yeah, intertwined. In the home, you've got patriarchy versus this incredible female resilience, violence versus love.
And then nationally, it's oppressive tradition clashing head on with the push for social justice.
It really makes you ask that central question.
Can these cycles be broken? The hatred, the revenge that plague the family and the nation.
Allende seems to suggest personal history is national history. They're inseparable.
And the title itself, The House of the Spirits. It's not just literal ghosts, though there are plenty of those.
Mm-hmm. It speaks to the women, right? Their indomitable spirits, refusing to be silenced.
Exactly. We meet key people early on. Rosa, the beautiful fiance with green hair, whose death sort of sets Esteban on his path.
Such a tragic accidental death, too.
Right. And young Clara, already seeing things, retreating into silence, and Esteban himself, driven by this fierce desire.
Desire for wealth, for love, but sowing so much sorrow along the way.
Let's talk about Esteban Trouba. His journey is just, wow, so full of contradictions.
He starts with almost nothing, just pride and this desperate love for Rosa.
Her death changes him, hardens him. That ambition becomes ruthless.
And he transforms Tres Marias, that estate, through sheer force of will, but also brutal exploitation.
That's the chilling part. He can feel this obsessive love, especially for Clara.
While committing horrific violence. Like the rape of Pancha Garcia.
An act that seems almost casual to him at the time, but it echoes down the generations.
Absolutely. It spawns this illegitimate line leading directly to Colonel Esteban Garcia, who embodies that cycle of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
His sins literally come back to haunt his granddaughter.
He becomes this powerful conservative senator, defending the old ways, but then in old age...
There's a reckoning, a painful one, and maybe a tiny sliver of redemption through Alba, his granddaughter.
To whom he finally confesses. It's... quite a journey.
And then you have Clara, the complete opposite in so many ways, the spiritual heart.
Gifted right from childhood, clairvoyance, telekinesis.
And that 9-year silence after predicting a death, she retreats.
She seems almost detached from the everyday world, doesn't she? Preferring spirits, writing in her notebooks.
Those notebooks that bore witness to life, they are so crucial.
But despite being otherworldly, she's the anchor, the absolute anchor for the family.
Her marriage to Esteban is this collision of opposites. and her resistance.
Hmm.
It's passive, but so powerful.
Never speaking to him again after he hits her. That silence speaks volumes.
Her whole life is about witnessing, recording. It creates this legacy of spiritual strength.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how their marriage really is a small version of the bigger societal clashes, brute force versus this quiet inner strength.
And their daughter, Blanca, kind of embodies that tension. She's caught between worlds.
Stubborn, rebellious, and that lifelong forbidden love for Pedro Tercero Garcia.
The peasant foreman's son, a direct challenge to her father.
Her whole life is this quiet fight against Esteban's tyranny. She represents endurance.
And she raises Alba on her own terms, really, independent of his world.
Which brings us to Alba, the granddaughter, and our main narrator.
She inherits traits from both Clara and Blanca, doesn't she? The sensitivity and the rebellious spirit.
She does. Adored by Esteban, ironically, even as her ideals become completely opposed to his.
Her love for Miguel, the student radical, pulls her into the resistance.
And her journey is just harrowing. Capture, torture.
At the hands of Colonel Esteban Garcia, her grandfather's unacknowledged grandson, the cycle closes horrifically.
But she survives with help from Clara's ghost, importantly.
And her survival leads to transformation, choosing to write the story, not for revenge, but to understand, to break the cycle.
We shouldn't forget Ferula either, Esteban's sister.
Oh, yes. Consumed by devotion. First her mother, then Esteban, then this intense, possessive love for Clara.
Esteban banishes her out of jealousy, but her ghost returns. That connection endures.
And Pedro Teixeira Garcia, the revolutionary folk singer, Blanca's love.
He's the voice of change, challenging Esteban's whole worldview.
His fight for justice continues even after Esteban maims him, takes his fingers.
And his escape, with Blanca's help, feels like a small but crucial victory. Love over tyranny.
Okay, so let's trace the story's path a bit. How these personal lives map onto the national events.
Right. It opens with the Del Valles, liberal, eccentric, Rose's beauty, her engagement to Esteban.
Then the tragedy. The accidental poisoning meant for her father.
Devastating for Esteban. And Clara retreats into that long silence.
Years pass. Esteban gets rich, returns.
And Clara, having foreseen his proposal, marries him. He takes over Tres Marias.
Transforms it ruthlessly. This is when he rapes Pancha Garcia. A crucial, dark moment.
Clara, meanwhile, brings kindness. A school for the workers' children. A total contrast.
Their own children are born. Blanca, Jaime, Nicolas, and Ferula is banished. That intense jealousy from Esteban.
Then comes Blanca's generation, her secret love affair with Pedro Tercero at Tres Marias.
Esteban finds out. The explosion of violence. He beats Blanca, maims Pedro.
Sends Blanca away, but the love survives. She comes back pregnant.
Forced into that sham marriage with the French count, which doesn't last.
Yeah.
She flees back home with Alba.
As Alba grows up, the political tensions escalate in the country. She falls for Miguel, the radical.
Embraces his ideals. While Esteban, now a senator, digs in his heels against socialism.
The ideological split is even reflected in his sons, right? Jaime, the socialist doctor, Nicolas, the spiritualist.
Yeah, in the election, the socialist candidate wins. Chaos ensues.
Esteban actively conspires with the right-wing forces.
Leading to the military coup, a direct parallel to Chile, 1973.
The presidential palace bombed, the president killed, Jaime is caught.
Tortured. Executed for his beliefs. It's brutal.
Clara is heartbroken by Jamie's death, by Esteban's complicity. She just lets go of life peacefully.
But she promises Alba she'll return.
Then the junta takes over. A reign of terror, censorship, torture.
Blanca manages to help Pedro Tercero escape the country. A small victory.
But Alba gets caught, betrayed, abducted.
And faces Colonel Esteban Garcia. That generational revenge enacted through systematic torture. Physical, sexual violence, unspeakable things.
And Clara's spirit helps her survive, guides her through it.
Finally, old Esteban, riddled with guilt, uses his influence to free Alba.
Cares for her, confesses everything, and then dies peacefully with Clara's spirit guiding him.
And Alba finds the notebooks, Clara's legacy.
Guided by Clara's spirit again, she decides to write. Not for revenge, for understanding, to break the cycle, to heal.
Wow. When you lay it out like that, the way the personal tragedies and the national history are just completely woven together.
It's incredibly powerful, intimate and epic at the same time, a real tapestry.
So let's pull back and look at the big themes running through all this.
Okay. First, and maybe most central, is the power of memory and storytelling.
Absolutely. The whole book is framed as Alba remembering, using Clara's notebooks.
Writing becomes survival. It's resistance against the official story, the one the dictatorship wants to impose. And it's healing. Alba literally writes her way through the trauma.
Yeah, ensuring the past, even the painful parts, isn't just erased.
Second, how the personal is political, Allende shows this so clearly.
Esteban's tyranny at home over his family, his workers, it's a mirror image of the state violence he supports.
Exactly. Big ideologies aren't abstract things. They play out in kitchens, in bedrooms. Personal history is political history.
Which connects to the cycles of violence and the possibility of forgiveness.
You see the cycle so clearly. Esteban's rape leads directly to Alba's torture decades later by his grandson. It feels almost deterministic.
But, and this is crucial, Alba breaks it.
Yes. She, the victim, makes that conscious choice. Understanding over vengeance, memory over retribution. It's profound.
It really is. And running alongside that, you just have to talk about the strength and resilience of women.
Definitely. Despite Esteban being the patriarch, the real power, the lasting power, comes from the women.
Clara's spiritual strength, Blanca's quiet defiance and enduring love, Alba's immense courage, they carry the light.
They resist not always through confrontation, but through inner strength, love, spiritual connection. They're the foundation.
And Allende uses magical realism as a form of truth to explore that spiritual dimension.
Right. Clara's gifts, the spirits, they aren't just fantasy elements. They're presented as fact.
It offers a different kind of reality, one that opposes the brutal materialism of the regime. It provides insight, comfort, resistance beyond the physical.
Suggesting that sometimes the things that seem impossible hold the deepest truths.
And finally, the themes of social class, justice, and revolution.
The gap between the Trubas and the Garcias is huge. Esteban's belief in hierarchy versus Pedro Tercero's demand for dignity.
Allen portrays the revolutionary ideals with empathy, but also shows the devastating cost of their suppression. It's very nuanced.
So how does she do all this? Let's talk about her craft. The narrative structure is fascinating.
It's complex, layered, primarily Alba narrating, looking back, using Clara's journals, first person.
But then you have those italicized sections. Esteban's voice, first person too.
Offering his side, often self-serving, justifying his actions.
That dual narration is brilliant. It creates tension, forces you to question what's true, whose memory is accurate. It deepens all those themes about truth and perspective. Really keeps you thinking.
It does. And then the literary devices she uses. Mm. Magical realism is obviously key.
Green hair, ghosts playing piano, prophecies coming true, woven right into the historical realism.
It lets her explore emotional truths that strict realism might miss. Makes the impossible feel completely real.
She also uses foreshadowing constantly, especially through Clara's visions.
Yeah, it creates this sense of fate, maybe inevitability, hints of tragedies to come. Even that first line about Barrabás feels like foreshadowing.
And the symbolism is so rich. The big house on the corner.
It is the family, isn't it? Holding all its secrets, changing with them, decaying, being rebuilt.
And Tres Marias represents that old feudal Chile, Esteban's power base, but also where the seeds of revolution are sown.
And the mutilation symbol. Pedro's fingers, Jamie's hands. It's about crushing creativity, revolution, healing itself. So brutal.
The whole saga works as a national allegory, doesn't it? For Chile's 20th century.
Absolutely. Esteban as the oligarchy. Clara the spiritual soul. Blanca and Pedro bridging divides. Alba the revolutionary youth. Crushed by the coup. Mirroring Pinochet.
Let's touch on some specific quotes, lines that just capture the essence. That opening line is unforgettable.
Barrabás came to us by sea, the child Clara wrote in her delicate calligraphy. She was already in the habit of writing down important matters, and afterward, when she was mute, she also wrote down trivialities, never suspecting that 50 years later, I would use her notebooks to reclaim the past and overcome terrors of my own.
Boom, right there. Magical realism, Clara the chronicler, Alba the narrator using memory to survive, the matriarchal line of storytelling, it's all there.
It really sets the stage perfectly.
And then Esteban's self-assessment, or maybe self-deception, something like, all the misfortunes of my life are due to my violent character, wanting to fix the world my way, but my land is well tended. The peasants love me.
That just reveals so much about him. He sees the flaws, kind of, but immediately justifies them. He can't grasp the real cost of his actions, not until the very end, that twisted pride.
And then Alba, in prison, understanding her own survival. And then I understood that the sticky stuff that held my body and soul together was not solely a matter of my own will, but of the love of all these people who had chosen to be my family, and of the memory of those who were no longer there.
Ah, that's beautiful. Her strength comes from connection, from love, from memory, especially Claire's spirit. It shows how much we rely on those bonds, especially when everything else is gone.
And finally, Alba's closing thoughts, the novel's core message. I want to think that my task is life and that my mission is not to prolong hatred, but to add new items to the brief and chaotic inventory of miracles that have already been recorded.
That's the thesis right there. After everything, she chooses life, rejects revenge, continues Clara's work of finding the miracles. Storytelling as creation, as forgiveness, powerful stuff.
This book leaves such a mark, doesn't it? The emotional impact is immense.
It really is. Heartbreaking cruelty, the torture, the violence side by side with this incredible human resilience.
You go from Clara's magical world to Alba's horrific ordeal. It's quite a journey.
But it doesn't leave you in total despair. There's this bittersweet hope.
Yeah. Blanca and Pedro's love enduring, the strength of the women, Alba's choice to write, it pulls back from the brink.
It reminds us that even facing the worst of history, remembering, loving, telling stories, that offers a path, a way towards healing.
Ultimately, the House of the Spirits suggests that real power isn't about force or conquest.
No, it's in that spirit. Choosing empathy, choosing narrative over revenge, carrying forward those miracles.
And it's a testament to how our personal lives and history are woven together, and how strength can emerge from unexpected, even magical places.
A truly unforgettable read.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Apatra Foundation.